Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. All right, if you'll have a seat. I want to tell you that I made a promise to you 10 years ago. July would be 10 years. I made a promise to you that I would treat you as adults and we would not play games. That I was serious about the responsibility that God had given me here. And part of what has turned me off about organized church and organized religion over the years is that there's a lot of games that get played, a lot of lies that are told, and that we would not be a place that was like that. Some people have found the straightforwardness to be offensive. But I tell you, if you're the doctor and I come to you and I got cancer, I don't want you to tell me I got a headache and take two aspirin and call me in the morning. I want you to tell me what's going on. I can deal with the truth even if I don't like the truth. I can deal with the truth. I can't do anything with a lie. Because a lie is a lie. So when a lie is a lie is a lie, there's nothing you can do with a lie. Okay? I may not like the truth, but I can deal with the truth if you will at least tell me the truth. And today, we're going to set some direction. What's getting ready to happen is this. Pastor Mike is going to come up and he's going to share with you just a few minutes on the subject of the weapons of our warfare. And then I'm going to come up behind him and I'm going to tell you what kind of warfare and where the enemy is and what the enemy has been doing. And I'm going to address some specific issues. And then at the end of our service, we're going to all gather together around the cross and we're going to pray, because not only are we under attack as a church and as a fellowship, our people are under attack. And we have an enemy who has come, but for three reasons: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And if you take your eye off of that son of a gun, he'll hit you while you're not looking. And we've got to keep our eyes open. We've got to be aware of what's going on. And we have to stand up, because greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. The power to overcome the enemy is in the blood of the Lamb and in the word of our testimony. But if we don't use what it is we've got, it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
If we don't use what it is we have, it doesn't do us any good that we've got it. We've got to use what it is that we have. So before Pastor Mike comes, I want to kind of give you an idea of how we came to be where we are today. Pastor Mike was at my house a little over a week ago, close to 10 days ago. I had taken my dog, my 9-year-old Dachshund Stormy. I had taken him to the vet. And at the vet, we found out that Stormy had a brain tumor and that it would cut into his life expectancy, and that the things that he was doing that made us think something was wrong, those symptoms would just continue to get worse. The doctor said you can extend his life if you want to, but it's going to be expensive. So, having difficulty already buying our own prescriptions, we didn't feel like we could afford to buy a dog's prescriptions. And so I said thank you, took my dog back home. Michelle and I talked about it, and as a matter of fact, last Friday, 2 days ago, we went back to the vet and we held Stormy. I held his head and his mama held his body while the doctors put Stormy down. When I left talking to Mike about that, Mike began to reflect on some of the things that he knows about me and Michelle and the things at the church. And anything you want to add into here, you just jump up. Or anything I say wrong, jump in. Okay. But there's a lot of pressure at our house because of the fact that we have a child who's currently serving a sentence in prison. We have a child who is under an enormous amount of pressure at school. Not only the pressure that the school puts on her, but the pressure she puts on herself. And so but it doesn't make any difference where the pressure comes from. It's still pressure, okay? And there's an enormous amount, and we are very concerned about her health and her stability, and you know, I mean, there's no doubt that she's going to get through, and she's going to do it. But as parents, when you see your children going through these difficult situations, you go through these difficult situations with them. Tripp got some very unjust, very undeserved, that fair enough?
Yes.
Bad news during the same week also that caused Michelle and I, and that's, I can't, you know, I'm not going to go any further than what I'm telling you, but that caused Michelle and I some great concerns for Tripp for a while. It does look like to me that he sort of hit bottom and bounced himself back up and is back to doing pretty well. But it was like everything was coming in all at one time. I'm being considered for a new position at my work that they are still dragging out and dragging out and dragging out, and that is starting to become stressful. Then, of course, we've got all the issues of things that are going on here at the church. When you have a Sunday with an $800 offering and a Sunday with a $300 offering, you can't help but ask yourself, and I'm just going to tell you right now, we cannot survive that way. We cannot survive that way. Something has got to change. And, of course, the question would be what? And I'm going to tell you what. I wished I knew. I wished I knew. All I can do is continue to put my faith and my trust in God, that God has an answer, even though He may not have told me yet. Okay? So Pastor Mike is sitting there in my house. He's thinking about all these things that he knows about. And the thing that comes to his mind is that this much pressure on one family at one time is not normal. So it must be spiritual. And then all of a sudden things begin to click. And then Mike and I begin to talk. And we begin to realize, as we sort of backed up from it and took a look at a big picture, we begin to see some holes in the space where the enemy was crawling in and attacking us. Not only personally and professionally, but corporately as a church. And so we started talking about how do we feel like we need to deal with this. And so today we are endeavoring to deal with this. That, please understand, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Charlie is not my problem. Doesn't make any difference what he did or didn't do. He's not my problem. Brian is not my problem. Edom is not my problem. Now, it might be that something Candace is doing, I'll use you as an example here because you're the only one that everybody knows, it can't be Candace. There might be something in Candace's life where the enemy is manipulating her. But you see, the problem is still not her because I'm not wrestling with Candace. I'm wrestling with the one who's wrestling with Candace. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I want you to understand, I am fired up this morning. I am excited. I'm excited because I believe that God is getting ready to do something awesome in this fellowship. But I'm also excited because I feel that we have been called to an opportunity to stand the ground that the cross has won for us and not give up ground to the enemy. Amen. And that's what I want to see happen today. In your life and in my life, that's what I want to see happen. I want to see God be victorious in us corporately and in us individually. And I'm also hoping that maybe some of the scales will fall off of our eyes and we will see, oh, I thought Brian was the problem. Oh, I thought Leroy was the problem. No, now I see that we are just tools in the enemy's hand, and my problem is not that I'm wrestling with flesh and blood, but I wrestle against a principality and a power. That's what I wrestle against. Pastor Mike, I'll ask you if you'll come share.
There are some churches today who do not believe and do not teach that there is a foe. There are people today who do not understand that there is a foe. There is one who fell from heaven, a ruler of wickedness, who is come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to ruin us. I had a bunch of scriptures, but I want to get through these, so I'm not gonna read all that. I think Pastor Don's pretty much set the where we need to be. As I sat in their home and began to pray, and began to look at everything. And I said, this is not normal. This is not natural. This is supernatural. This is spiritual. You see, we are not of this world. We are of another kingdom. Do you understand that today? If you are born again today, you are born again of another kingdom. We are of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not subject to the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of God is being come against by the kingdom of this world. And the word says that the people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. If we do not understand that we have a foe, if we do not understand that there is something coming against us, and if we do not do what the Word tells us, what the Spirit leads, how the Spirit leads us to come against that thing, then either one will either come into a place of total lethargy, of total not being able to do anything, because we're just fine where things are, and the enemy will eat our lunch. Or we'll die prematurely. One of those two things will happen. He'll take us out. And I was sitting there looking that little dog in the face, and my heart broke. And I said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I want to give you 10 weapons of our warfare. There are tons more, but I'm going to give you 10 this morning. I want you to write these down. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're not going to look at the scriptures for all these, but in Ephesians, I really want to look here because this is the beginning. In Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, and this is exactly what Pastor Don said. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devils, or the schemes of the devil. He said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, if it were not true, that scripture doesn't even need to be there. We need to tear it up and throw it away and say it's just not important. But that's there for a reason. We do have. There are powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that are coming against you, me, and this church. And if we don't, as a people, unite and stand together and do what we know to do, then we'll either, one, have the enemy eat our lunch, or we'll go out prematurely. And we're not going to do that. Amen. Then he goes here and he says, therefore, verse 13, he said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That's the first weapon of our warfare, is the armor of God. Now, I'm going to read through these, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I hope you'll write those scriptures down. It's Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, go all the way to verse 20, but I'm just going to read the armor, because these are the weapons of our warfare. He said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand. Having done all to stand, stand. He didn't say, having done all to stand, give up. He didn't say, having done all to stand, sit down. He doesn't say, having done all to stand, back up. He says, having done all to stand, stand. We're in a battle. And y'all, the truth of the matter is, we need to understand something. We win. We win. But we don't win if we're not doing all to stand and standing. Amen? So we're going to stand. Amen. So he says, having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And you can go ahead and read the rest of that. But I ask you to take these scriptures home. Look at these things. What is the breastplate of righteousness? What is the sword of the Spirit? What are these things? Find them out and make sure that when you get up in the morning, you're putting on the armor of God, because it is a weapon of your warfare. And then he also says, having done all that, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There are many forms of prayer. There's the prayer of intercession. And that's another thing I've got on here. Number one, the armor of God. And I'm going to skip down to number six, which I've got. And number two is prayer. Prayer. We have the prayer of agreement. The power of the prayer of agreement is an amazing thing. It's a mighty thing. And when you and I can understand that we, as a collective group of people, we are free to hook up with one another in the prayer of agreement and pray by the power of the prayer of agreement. And God says he'll do mighty things. Mighty things. There's a prayer of intercession. There's a prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of petition where we make our needs known unto God. Jeremiah was an incredible prophet. They called him the lamenting or the crying prophet. He wept for what was going on. He wept for what was happening. He wept before God. And there's many kinds of prayer. All prayer and supplication. The prayer of intercession. Sometimes you can be praying. We had a precious, precious lady in our lives that I met in the early 90s, probably 1990. Her name is Maxine Walker. Maxine Walker came to me and she said, God sent you here. And she said, from Tennessee. And she said, and God sent me here from California because I'm going to weep for you. And never in ever any service we ever had did Maxine Walker not sit there and cry for me. She wept in the spirit. She would give to the groanings and the moanings of the spirit. And she would pray for me. Now, nobody knew about it but her and myself, except for people sitting right next to her and watched her constantly wiping her tears. But she wept. She knew a power of intercession that was on the inside of her. And I tell people, sometimes I believe I'm alive today because of Maxine Walker's praying for me and weeping for me in the spirit. It wasn't that she was sad. It was she was praying with groanings that she could not utter. And that's the scripture we may get time to look at. We may not. But prayer is a weapon of our warfare. Number three, the name of Jesus. The scripture says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And then in Mark, Jesus said that. He said, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Who believe, he said, in my name they will cast out demons. Y'all, we should use the name of Jesus. We should use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a powerful weapon of our warfare. Many people, we've experienced times when we were right at the brink of something major happening, and the thing that just comes right out of our spirit is Jesus. And it's not being disrespectful. It's that we're calling up on that name at that moment, at that time, because we know that the power and the strength that we need is in that name. And everything will have to bow to that name. So the name of Jesus is a mighty weapon of our warfare. We should be using that name. I'll say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are my protector, that you are my children's protector, that you are my grandbaby's protector, that you are who you say you are, that you're doing what you say you'll do. And in the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy from having any destruction in their lives. In the name of Jesus, not in Mike's name. Mike's got nothing in and of himself. But in the name of Jesus, we have more than enough power to deal with what needs to be done. The name of Jesus is a mighty weapon of our warfare. The next one that I wrote down is the blood of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, all those chapters are all about what has been accomplished by the blood. The blood of Jesus is still working today. There are Bibles that have taken out any references to the blood. Did you know that? There are churches today that won't refer to the blood because they think that's a little bit gross and that's a little bit much to have to put on people. But you know what? The blood of Jesus is the reason we're able to live today. The blood of Jesus is what saves us from our sin. The blood of Jesus is what will continue to keep us saved. So the blood of Jesus is a mighty weapon of our warfare. And there are times when we're coming against things and powers and principalities that simply those words coming out of our mouths, I plead the blood of Jesus. We'll see it'll stop the work of the enemy. Stop the voice of the enemy. If you're being bombarded with thoughts, then you ought to be saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. If you're being bombarded with thoughts that you know are not from God, and they may even be from your own personality, begin to plead the blood of Jesus. It's a mighty weapon of our warfare. The next one that I wrote down is, and this is a great one, is that praise and worship is a weapon of our warfare. Did you know that? The Bible says that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, that praise and worship will be perfected and that it will still the voice of the enemy. When you're being bombarded with, oh, you're depressed or you're not going to make it or there's more month than there is money or, you know, everybody's leaving you. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. I'm going to eat some worms. You know, you get into those mully grubs. The best thing to do is put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. The word says that praise will still the voice of the enemy. And there are many times when all we need to do, and do you know that the only power that stinker has is the power of deception? He is the author of all lies. He's a liar. And that's all he can do today. He has been rendered powerless by the blood of Jesus. And the only thing that that stinker can do is deceive us. And he, you know what he does? He starts whispering in people's ears. Well, it's not like it used to be. Well, Pastor Don's not like his father. Well, the music is a little bit different than we're used to around here. Well, so-and-so's not here anymore. Well, and you start hearing that stuff, and you start hearing that stuff, and you start getting involved in the negative, and you start getting involved in the circumstances. We'd see what we need to do is say, Lord, I'm going to put on a garment of praise. And if I'm the last one standing here, I'm going to be standing here praising you. I'm going to steal the voice of the enemy. Praise and worship will steal the voice of the enemy. That's enough right there to equip every one of us to do what we need to do. We need to be people of praise and worship. The next one that I wrote down is found in 1 Corinthians. Don't turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been looking at this on Wednesday nights. Are the manifestations of the Spirit are weapons of our warfare. If you and I could only understand these nine manifestations of the Spirit, there are three that are revelation gifts. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. These three manifestations, the weapons of our warfare, they reveal something. They will reveal something. The next one are the power gifts or the power manifestations. They are faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Those three do something. There is something happening when those three are involved. The last three are the inspiration gifts. They are prophecy, gifts of unknown tongues, and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Those three say something. There is something said when the first three say something also, but they usually, there's a revelation, there's a revealing that comes forth. One will reveal things from now in the past, one will reveal things from now in the future, and one is, will reveal what spirit is working in your midst. The spirit, it will reveal whether it be good or whether it be bad, discerning the spirits. But these are weapons of our warfare. And the neat thing about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the very first verse says, now, brethren, concerning these things, I would not have you ignorant. And since that day, the enemy and religion has said, we're going to keep you ignorant. Because if you find out about these things, the weapons of your warfare are going to be so mighty in your life that the enemy will run and will every morning you get up will say, oh, my. The enemy will say, oh, my. Leroy's up because he understands the weapons of his warfare and these. Make sure I get that back to you, Lori. Okay, the next one. The next one I had was prayer. Then the next one is the word of God. Three times when the enemy came to tempt Jesus, three times the greatest example you and I will ever have, three times Jesus said when he spoke to him, it is written. He used the word of God. The enemy will lie and try to cause us not to understand. But if we understand what is written, then we can say it is written. The biggest trouble we have is a bunch of people in church who are, we're so lazy that we want the preachers and the prophets and the apostles and the teachers and the evangelists to do all the reading, to do all the wording. But you and I have to understand, we have a mighty weapon of our warfare in this book when it's alive on the inside of us. And when the enemy says to you, you're not going to make it, you can say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the enemy will back up and say, well, you know something that I am not going to be able to touch. It is written, the word of God is a weapon of our warfare. Number eight. Faith. Declare your faith, not your circumstance. Faith brought that thing in here quicker and quick. Faith did that. And it began because somebody took a step to declare it. Faith brought it in. Yes, it took humans to be obedient, but you know, many times we'll begin to look at the circumstances and we'll forget and we'll start speaking the circumstances and not faith. Not faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Faith says that the word of God is greater than my circumstance. Faith says that with his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. And I wouldn't even know my mom and dad. But faith says what Jesus did is more than enough. That's what faith is. Faith is a weapon of our warfare. Number 9, in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the great fruit of the Spirit, they're a weapon of our warfare. When you and I choose to walk in the release of the fruit of the Spirit instead of the release of our flesh, the Bible says, against such there is no law. I'm telling you, that does more for me than anything has in a long time. Because what that says to me is, instead of giving to anger or giving to oppression or depression or just simply giving up, that if I will stir up on the inside of me that there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and temperance, and that I'll stir because it's alive on the inside of me. It may not be up here, but it's in my spirit. That if I'll stir that and I'll walk according to the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law out there that can stand against it. That the enemy himself will say, I'll take you out. I'll get you out of love. I'll get your joy. And you say, no. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And my joy is not contingent upon my circumstances. My joy is not contingent upon my feelings. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I may not know it up here, but it's alive on the inside of me. The last thing that I have, and we're all going to look at the scriptures here. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm not going to read anything specifically. I just want you to see this and write it down, and then you can look at this later. Paul is talking about a revelation. He's talking about this dispensation, what's going on. And he's talking about the fact here, he says, it's a mystery. It's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to those who are not of this kingdom. It's a mystery out there. They don't understand it and they're not going to understand it. But you see, those of us that are on the inside, we can understand this mystery. We can know this mystery. And in Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 1 and going all the way to verse 21, which is the whole chapter, it talks about this mystery. But if we turn, and you don't have to turn there, because I'm going to turn there real quick and I'm going to read it because it's just a real short verse. In Colossians chapter 1, and verse 27, it says this. To them, he's talking about the church, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is it, y'all. And this could be the greatest weapon of our warfare, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know what that word glory means? It means the manifested presence of God. And if Christ in you is the hope of glory, that means Christ in Charlie is the manifested presence of God. And against presence, the very gates of hell cannot prevail. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is probably the greatest weapon of our warfare. Everything else will fall into place when we understand this one. That Jesus Christ in me is more than enough. What Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago paid the price. For us to experience or live in anything less says that what he did was not enough. God knew before the foundation of the world, and he said, I have the answer to everything that they will face. I have the answer to every circumstance that they will come into. And the only way we'll know the answer is the revelation of Christ in me is the manifested presence of God. Christ in me is the manifested presence of God. And I can understand in and of myself, I don't have what it takes. But on the inside of me, there's more than enough. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Those are 10 weapons of our warfare. Y'all, I began to look at this and I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to write a syllabus. I'm going to write an entire class on the weapons of our warfare. They just keep, there are more and more and more. It's amazing how many weapons of our warfare there are. But there's 10. I'm going to say them one more time so make sure everybody's got it written down. Number one, the armor of God. Number two, prayer. Number three, the name of Jesus. Number four, the blood of Jesus. Number five, praise and worship. Number six, the manifestations of the Spirit. Number seven, the Word of God. Number, am I right? Number eight, am I right? Faith. Number nine, the fruit of the Spirit. And number 10, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And if we know these things and we're stirring these things and we're learning about these things, then when the enemy comes, then we can raise up a standard and we can stand. Having done all that we know to do, continue to stand in the armor of God, with the Word of God, by the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, with the fruit of the Spirit being evident. Knowing that Christ in me is the hope. And it's more than enough. Is that enough?
Yes, that's great.
I got an email this week that was entitled Identity Theft. And it had some pictures that I thought were pretty cute. It's okay. On the subject of identity theft. I thought they were really cute, and there was a couple of them I left out, but I thought they were really cute until I got down to the last one. And when I got down to the last one, all the rest of them lost their sense of humor. Because the reason why we are warned about wolves in sheep's clothing is because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. But isn't it amazing how we have had some of these wolves enter into our fellowship, and when they were pointed out, people came to me and said, you know, you shouldn't talk about believers like that. Guess what? They're not believers. They can walk in here with their little bobblehead smiles and say all the right things and wear their belt buckles that says Reverend or Pastor on it, but that doesn't make them a Christian. We endeavored to try to be a blessing to what I thought was a displaced fellowship with a person who had a title, a religious title, but I found out that they were that last picture right there. They moved in, blessed, and told me, your decisions that you have made concerning our fellowship have caused our women to weep with joy. Well, you know what? When they left, they caused our women to weep with sorrow. That tells you of what nature they are. I have decided that when it's wrong, I'm going to call it wrong. And if you don't like it, you might need to consider whether or not you're wrong. Because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I do not know why this particular fellowship comes under attack. You would think at our size and our location and all the things we got working against us, the devil really wouldn't care. But you know what? It's obvious that he knows something we don't know because he does seem to care. Mike started off by saying to us that we are part of a kingdom. We're not of the kingdom of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. And the scriptures say that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And there is a time to be, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. There is a time to be nice, but then there's a time to not be nice. And when one of these individuals. They remind me of the scripture that says that in the last days that there will be men who will creep into the houses of God to try to steal away silly women. That's what this person reminded me of. But when they start bullying one of our own, you can be sure that I have zero tolerance for a bully. I've never had it in my entire life. I'm not going to start having tolerance for it today. If you feel that you're under attack, if you feel like someone is bullying you, if you feel like somebody's putting pressure on you that's undue, you come tell me, I'll handle it. Almost ever since I became the pastor here, and I'm not 1,000% sure that it hasn't been since the very day we started this church has been under attack concerning the subject of authority issues. Jesus looked at the centurion, a man who wasn't even a Jew, and said to him, "Not all of Israel who call yourselves sons of Moses or sons of Abraham have the faith of this Gentile, this Goy here, who showed that he has great faith by his understanding concerning authority." You see, one of the things that I want to talk to you about this morning very quickly is this. We keep running into the same problems over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I keep coming back to Mike and I keep going, "Well, maybe I need to do another message on authority." But you know what? We shouldn't need to be taught on the subject of authority anymore. We just got through hearing about 10 weapons of our warfare, and I want to thank Mike for stepping outside of his comfort zone, because if when I asked Mike to speak on the subject of the weapons of our warfare and limit it to 10, what that means in his mind is one subject for 10 weeks, and then we're going to subject number 2 for 10 weeks, then we're going to subject number 3, the third weapon, for 10 weeks. Because how many of you know he could have done that? And he could have had 100 weapons, but he stepped outside of his comfort zone because I said, "I just want you to refresh our minds as to the weapons of our warfare, because for the 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been a fellowship, we have been taught." Well, I'm not saying anything today that has not been said 1,000 times, and yet we continue to sit here and ignore it. Why is that? Because we have ears, but we are not listening. And why are we not listening? Because the enemy, it's not, "I got a problem with Michelle, I got a problem with Ann, I got a problem with Dorothy. Dorothy's not paying attention to me." No, Dorothy's got somebody standing behind her going, "Don't pay attention to him." And that's why we keep repeating the subject over and over and over and over again. I keep scratching my head going, "I talked about that." When? 2 weeks ago, you were right there in church. I don't remember. Because we hear, but we're not listening. And there's a big difference in those two things. And what that is a spirit that has set itself over this fellowship. And so I keep repeating myself, saying things over and over and over again, and then I'm scratching my head going, "Why isn't Brian getting this?" But the problem's not Brian. The problem's not Lori. The problem's not Bryce. The problem is we have an enemy who has made himself at home here, who has come, because what he did was he made sure the seed didn't fall on good ground. He made sure the seed fell where it could spring up, "Oh, that was so good," and then die away in the heat. I would like to think I will not have to repeat this again. But for just one more time, I'm going to say this, hopefully. For whatever reasons in God's logic, which I don't understand, don't even ask Him to explain it to me, I do believe with all of my heart that I am the called and the set man for this fellowship. As such, I will readily admit, I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I get accused of that quite frequently. "Oh, you think you're perfect?" No, but I sure am working towards it. I am not perfect, but guess what? when God called me and God sent me, He knew my imperfections. 10 years ago when He called me and He sent me, He knew we'd be standing here today. 10 years ago when He called me and He sent me, He knew you'd be here to hear what I had to say. He knew who wouldn't be here to hear what I had to say also. I'm the called and the set man. And I'm going to tell you something about me that you already know, but let's just get it out on the table. I do not stand still. I have a vision. I have a challenge. I have a dream. I have things I want to accomplish for the kingdom of God. Some of them will get accomplished and some of them won't. That's okay. I'm still going to dream my dreams. I'm still going to rub the fur on the cat in the wrong direction. I'm still going to be who it is that I am because I know that when God called me and set me here, He already knew who I was. We started 10 years ago by me standing before you and saying, Moses is dead. You weren't here then. But my very first Sunday, I started off with, Moses is dead. The little sweet guy, you know, who when God says, I'm going to kill them all, jumps up and says, No, you can't kill them. You can kill me if you want to, but you can't touch them. You know, the little sweet guy, when you come and say, we ain't got no water, he'll get you something out of a rock. You know, the little sweet guy, who when the enemy's storming down on you, raise the rod up and take you across on dry land. The little sweet guy who when you get tired of eating bread will make sure God gives you a little meat to go with it so you can fix yourself a sandwich. Be sure to put Duke's mayonnaise on it. That guy's dead. The guy that came after him wasn't like that. The guy that came after Moses stood and looked at Jericho and said, I'm a warrior and you're getting ready to fall. Okay, you might have one gate and it might be boarded up. You got your walls all the way around you that are so wide that a house can be built on the top of a wall. But you know what? You're getting ready to come down. I don't know how yet, but you're on your way down.
Yes.
There was a reason why Moses didn't make it into Promised Land, because he was not a warrior. He was a lover. Moses is dead. He took us down to the Promised Land, but now it's our responsibility to get up off of our lazy rear ends and go fight a fight, not just get up out of our tents in the morning and stretch ourselves and go pick up meat off the ground. Because I'm going to always be the person who gets up in the morning while I'm shaving my ugly face, I'm going to be challenging myself to be more than I am. And I'm going to be the kind of person who's going to reach out and grab hold of you, and I'm going to challenge you to be more than you are. Because I don't want to be embarrassed when I stand before Jesus and say, well, I did just enough to get by, thank you. Am I going to make mistakes? Only people who are doing something make mistakes.
That's right.
So the answer is yes. Am I going to miss it sometimes? Yes. But I'd rather miss it trying than miss it not trying. And the next person who walks in here, and on their very first Sunday, thinks they know more about how to run this church than I do, they're going to get an earful. Because I won't be as patient the second time around with the wolf as I was the first time. Because now I know what it is I'm dealing with. Control issues, division issues, authority issues. Hey, I'll tell you something. It's real easy to do what authority tells you to do when they tell you to do something you want to do. It's a development of character when you do something you're told to do by authority that you don't want to do. That's when your real character starts to show up.
That's right.
Oh, it's easy to do what I want to do. But when I'm told by the people that I submit myself to do something I don't want to do, that's when how much character I've got, how much integrity I've got, starts to show itself. That's when it shows itself. But not only are we under attack corporately, many of you are under attack personally. I forgot to even mention in all the rest of that mess I was telling you about with my dog and my children and all that. During this whole time frame in the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to do something with Michelle's mother who's at a point now where she can't live by herself anymore. We've got some decisions we have to make concerning my parents over the next couple of 3 weeks because of the state of their health. And any one of these things wouldn't be too much, but all of them at one time, it is unnatural. But I'm going to tell you something. It's at times like this that my feet get planted firmer, my knees begin to lock, and my shoulders begin to throw themselves back. And I say, you know what? I am not going to quit on the verge of a miracle.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Amen.
I am not going to do it.
Glory.
Because my God knows my frame. He knows that I'm made of dust. He knows how much I can take and what I can't take. He knows what I can handle and He knows what I can't handle. And He also knows that the only reason why the iron hits the iron is because when iron hits iron, they both become sharper.
All right. Amen.
The problem is, there's always a lot of sparks that fly when iron hits iron. Isn't that right, Mr. Welder? There's always a lot of sparks that fly, but there's got to be a lot of sparks flying before things get any sharper. I remember when I was a young preacher, I was talking to an old preacher one time, and I said to him, well, in my personality and the way I kind of like to live, I like to live a little bit on the edge. And just like this, he looked me right square in the eye, and very quietly and meekly and humbly, he said, well, when you live on the edge, you can expect to bleed. Obviously, I never forgot that. But you know what? Out there on the edge is where all the excitement is.
Yeah.
That's where God's out there hollering, charge! And we have so many examples of where God in the Scriptures called the people of Israel to charge, and they were hiding in rocks. They were hiding in caves. They were making excuses. And I don't want to be an excuse. I want to be a leader. I want to be out front. I want everything that Jesus died for me to have at Calvary. I want it all. And I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to challenge you. And we're going to see great things. We're going to see great things.
Amen.
Because we serve a great God.
Yes.
So let me shift gears just a little bit away from us corporately. Let's talk about you individually for just a second. Then we'll pray. I've never seen so much junk in so many people's lives all at one time in my whole life. I believe, not only is it because we're on the edge of a miracle, but I think it's also a sign of the times.
Yeah.
This is not a time to tuck tail and run. This is a time to gather our weapons of our warfare and stand and have them done and having wielded that thing every direction we know to wield it, stand some more. Because one thing I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something that I do know. God is faithful.
Amen.
Well, I know, but. No, I know, but. No, God is faithful. Well, how's He going to work this out, Pastor? I don't know. But this I do know, God is faithful. I think His timing is terrible. That's my thoughts. My thought is, your timing is terrible. But guess what? His timing is always right.
Right.
Just ain't right by my time, but it's right by His time. Okay, and I got to adjust my clock. In fact, I got to turn it back because he ain't never quite fast enough for me. But you know what? In the midst of putting my dog down and in the midst of all the things going on in my children's lives and in the midst of all the things going on in my parents and parents-in-laws and all the things that are going on in the church, I can still stand with my two big old size 13s firmly planted on a rock and raise my hands and say, God, you are good. Because your goodness is not contingent about what I see with my eyes. Your goodness is not contingent on anything. Your goodness is you are good. Put a period there. That's the end of it. And sometimes to see your goodness, I might have to fight through a few things. And sometimes to see your goodness, I might have to be carried through some things I don't like. And sometimes to see your goodness, I might have to face some things that I would rather not face. But you know what, God? You are still good. You got a 6,000-year track record with me of never not being where you needed to be when you needed to be there. Now, I think for the next 6,000 years, you got a pretty good credit in my checking account. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to believe you. I want to conclude before we go to prayer by just saying this. I want to apologize for not being the man that I believe that God really would have had me have been the last 10 years. But I've been woken up. I've been stirred up. I don't plan to dwell on the past. I plan to look to the future. We cannot survive the way we are going. We have all got to make Lamplight Church a prayer priority. We've got to pray for its finances. We got to pray for its attendance. On the financial side, I'll say this, we got to give till it hurts. Forget 10%. Forget it. Do absolutely everything you can. And it doesn't make any difference how little or how small that is. If all of us will do absolutely everything we can, God will be faithful. We've got to invite people. 82% of people who don't go to church will go to church if someone they know asks them to come. We need to be asking. We need to be encouraging. We need to make Lamplight Church a major part of our focus. Don't wake up on Sunday morning, well, I feel a little bit bad, I think I'll stay home today. Don't do it. Stay out of work, but don't miss church. Think about it. Amen. We feel bad on Monday morning, we'll get up and go to work anyway, won't we? But we feel bad on Sunday, we'll skip church. That shows we don't have our priorities right. That shows that we don't understand what the weapons of our warfare are. That means that we are willing to give in. Because let me ask you this. If the devil has a choice between keeping you out of church and keeping you out of work, which one do you think he's going to pick?
Yep.
He's going to pick and keep you out of church. Well, if he's going to pick and keep you out of church and you're going to pick and keep you out of church, you just entered into the spirit of agreement with the devil.
That's right.
You want to go there? I don't either. Because the power of agreement, I want to be in agreement between me and God, not between me and the devil.
That's right.
Now, let me just say this as a caution. We're not turning this church into a devil behind every stack of chairs. Okay? Those people scare me. Okay? The reason you sneeze is you have a demon. The reason you have a watch on is you have a demon. Those people scare me. Okay? I don't like them. All right? And we're not bringing in those snakes either. Okay? I don't like them either. All right? But what I am saying, though, is that we're being killed and don't even know it. And it's time to bring the evil to the light, because the evil hate the light.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, if you will, to gather with me at the cross and allow your pastor to pray for you. That God will lead, be our rear guard, and stand beside of us.
Yes.
To protect us from the onslaught of the enemy.
Amen.
And to make this church individually and corporately into what it is He wants it to be. If you want to enter into a spirit of agreement with me on that, let's come to the front for a moment. Yeah, whatever you want to do, but I just want you close to me. I know that I've never said this to you, but for the implication that we hear so many times, that if you'll come to Jesus, all your problems will be over, I just want to apologize to you for you being lied to. The fight starts when you come to Jesus. Because when you're swimming with the devil, he'll let you swim right down the stream with him. But it's when you turn around to swim against the stream that the water starts batting you in the face. But you know what? There is an eternal reward, whether you're swimming with the stream. Mm-hmm. When it drops off the edge, there's an eternal reward for that. And when you swim against the stream, there's an eternal reward for that also. Amen. The Scriptures would not tell us to fight the good fight if there wasn't a fight to be fought. That's right. And that's what we want to do today. We want to stand in the prayer of agreement and say, God, we're going to fight this fight. And as faithful as you are to us, you're going to find me that faithful to you. That having put my hands on this plow, I am not letting go and I am not turning back. I'm going to trust you that like you can bring in a big cabinet, you can bring in a big crowd. Mm-hmm. That like you can bring in a big cabinet, you can bring in big finances. Mm-hmm. That like you can bring in a big cabinet, you can bring in a big gymnasium. You can cut trees and you can replace carpet. You can paint walls because you are God. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you that in the middle of this circle, your Holy Spirit would come.
Yes.
We have stirred up within ourselves today, oh God, a remembrance that we do have an enemy. That I'm not wrestling against principalities and powers, or against flesh and blood. I'm sorry, against flesh and blood, but I am wrestling against principalities and powers. And I'm either pinning or I'm getting pinned in that wrestling match. And God, I will tell you, right now I feel like I'm getting pinned. But I refuse to tap out. I'm going to lift my voice up to you and I'm going to cry, Daddy, come and help me.
Yes.
Save me
yes.
from the onslaught of the enemy. Give me wisdom, O God, in every decision that needs to be made.
Yes.
For every parent standing here, give us wisdom. Yes. For every spouse that is standing here, give us wisdom.
Yes.
For every head of household, give us wisdom. That we would make the right decisions based on your wisdom. Not based on what we see, not based on what we think, not based on what we feel, based on your wisdom, O God. God, we ask you to put a guard over our mouth. That we would be careful about what we say. And that we would utter only by the utterances of your Spirit. I am very angry today, O God, at what the enemy has tried to do to these people that I love. I'm very angry at what the enemy has tried to do to Kathy Wood's family. I'm very angry at how he has endeavored to try to pick us off one by one, caused us to major on the minors, and ignore the things that are of real importance. I am angry that there's been so many useless hurt feelings. Sad words. So much gossip and talk. So much undermining. And God, today, we stand here at the foot of your cross knowing that the only relief we have is at your cross. Asking you for a fresh blood transfusion.
Yes.
That we would be so hooked up to you that all of our life blood would flow out and your life blood would flow in. God, you'd give us eyes to see into the spirit world, that we can see what's happening. Give us understanding to understand what's happening. And then, oh God, give us the faith and the courage to stand. You didn't tell us that the storm wouldn't come. You just told us you'd carry us through.
Yes, Lord.
When it did come.
Yes, Lord.
When is enough enough? When you say it is.
Yes.
So we ask you to say, it is.
Yes, Lord.
Today, oh God, speaking for this group, I affirm that our trust is in you.
Yes,
Lord. Yes.
I will lean on no man, and I will lean not to my own understanding. But in all of my ways, yes, oh God, I will acknowledge you.
Hallelujah.
That you are worthy, great, grand, and glorious.
Yes.
Today, we express to you that we love you. With all that we are, we love you. We thank you that you love us. We rise up now, O God, from this place. Reinvigorated in our spirits,
yes,
stirred within our hearts, and challenged to move forward with you, the God who is always moving forward. We thank you, O God, that you don't even know how to retreat, but that you stand in front of us and holler charge. And we stand behind you and we holler, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Whatever it is you say, we say, yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going. In your strength, in your power, and in your wisdom. From this day forward, in Jesus' name.